The scripture reading for the lessons, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 32 through 40. Deuteronomy 4, 32 through 40. For ask now of the days past, which were before you, since the day that God created man on the earth, and from the one end of the heavens to the other end of the heavens, whether there has been a thing as great as this, or has anything like it been heard? Has a people heard the voice of God speaking from the midst of the fire, as you have heard, and lived? Or has God gone forth to take to himself a nation from the midst of a nation, by trials, by signs, and by wonders, and by war, and by mighty hand, and stretched out arm, and by great terrors, according to all that Jehovah your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes? To you it was revealed that you might know that Jehovah is God, and no one besides him. He made you hear his voice out of the heavens, that he might discipline you. And he made you see his great fire on earth, and you heard his word from the midst of the fire. And because he loved your fathers, and chose their seed after them, and brought you out with his presence, with his great power out of Egypt, in order to drive out nations greater and mightier than you from before you, to bring you in, to give their land for an inheritance, as it is this day. Know today and lay it to your heart that Jehovah, he is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath, and there is no other. And you shall keep his statutes and his commandments, which I am commanding you today, so that it may be well with you and with your sons after you, and so that you may prolong your days on the earth, which Jehovah our God is giving you all the days.
Good morning. It's good to see everyone out this morning. Everybody has a desire to be here. Everybody wants to please their God in assembling upon this first day of the week to worship him. I want to thank Andrew for his reading. I know it's a little bit long, but I know he could handle it, though, so I appreciate him doing that for me. As we think about what he read there, and it's what's going to base the lesson on this morning, on commandments. And we see, I've thought about what lesson I was going to give and everything last week or so, and hadn't come to the conclusion on what I was going to speak on. But I got some help from, and they don't know that they'd help me, from Jeff McLean's lesson Sunday night and Rich's lesson Wednesday night. So I have to thank them for putting that in an idea in my mind, and I appreciate that. But commandments, what is a commandment? Well, it's a law that is enacted to follow after, and as in the religious realm that we were talking about today, to follow what God has for his people, what he expects of his people, what he desires his people to do. And we look in Deuteronomy, also talks about, he says, oh, that you had a heart, oh, that they had a heart, that they would seek me diligently. And that's what he wanted, was a heart. And that would be to seek his commandments, do those diligently, and to follow them. So today, this morning, I want to kind of give you an idea, which you can kind of see, and you probably can already come to a conclusion, Old Testament, New Testament. So what I wanted to bring out was, we're under the same guidelines that the Israelites were. We're still under those same kind of guidelines. Maybe not the same commandments, but a laws that are given for us to follow, to enact laws that will help us religiously, help us throughout our dealings with man from time to time, and to deal with Christians from time to time. And then you'll see once I get through this, what the conclusion, why I spoke of this lesson, because I thought it was very interesting that everything that God's done for us, what do we do? So that will be the conclusion, and I'll try to hold you not very long. I could have, like Jeff had on Sunday night, he had He said he had many verses he could go through, but he said time would not allow him to do all those verses. In the same way with me, I have many verses we could go to, but one I think is sufficient to go through each one of these points. So if you will, turn to Deuteronomy, the 4th chapter, verses 5 through 11. This is where we're going to begin today, and then we'll continue on into the Old Testament, New Testament, and bounce off of each other. And as we were studying this morning in our class, in the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians, those things are written, were for examples for us. And then also in Romans, it talks about those things written aforetime are written for our learning. So we're studying the Old Testament for a reason. Not, it may be to some people boring history, but get a little deeper. Jetta showed me in her class, she has a book that a man, I can't remember now what the man's name is, wrote. But as far as the sacrifice, as far as each utensils, there was a significant reason for that. It wasn't just because he wanted to give it to you. So I thought that was a very good book, and it brings down to our time today, things that they may resemble, things that they are looking at, a foreshadow of things that come. So as we think about this, in verse 5 of chapter 4, it says, "See, I have taught you statutes and judgments," and this is Moses speaking to the people of Israel, just before they're going into the land of Canaan, to the promised land. So just as the Lord commanded me that you should do thus in the land where you are entering to possess. So keep them and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples who will hear all these statutes and say, "Sure, this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God whenever we call on him? Or what great nation is there that has statutes and judgments as righteous and as this whole law which I am setting before you?" Verse 9 says, "Only give heed to yourselves and keep your soul diligently, so that you do not forget these things which your eyes have seen, and they do not depart from your heart all the days of your life. But make them known to your sons and to your grandsons. Remember them. Remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, when the Lord said to me, 'Assemble the people to me, that I may let them hear my words, so that they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children.'" So these commandments were for a specific reason. They follow after God. He had a plan for them to follow, and they had to take action on that plan. And he said, not only for you, but he said, look to the future. Look to your sons, your grandsons, your great-grandsons. Let them know what I have done for you throughout. Well, let's go over to the New Testament. 1 Timothy, or 2 Timothy, 2 chapter, verse 15 says, "Study to show," or diligently study, "study to show thyself approved, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God." So what is he doing? What's Paul telling the Christian? He said, study diligently, or diligently do those things. Show yourself approved. So if you're showing yourself approved, then you are following after God's ways because you know them. You know what they're enacted for, and it's for your benefit. And then also he tells in Ephesians and also Colossians, talks about teach your children. And your children teach their children, and so on and so on. That's how the church remains strong, because it is in ground, you've been grounded firm and deep in the Word of God. There's a foundation you have built upon, and you want your children to build upon that foundation. So you need to remember those things and not forget them. This is the children of Israel. It said, that you may live long upon the earth. Forget them, and you may not live long upon the earth, because you may do things that will take your life. You may do things that does not help you spiritually. So you need to remember those things. And when you come into those situations, should I be doing these things? What's the Word of God say concerning this? And then you act upon that. And then he goes on and he talks about there were a chosen people. He chose Israel from Abraham. He chose Abraham. He called him out of Ur of the Chaldeans to be a people. Look over into Deuteronomy, the 10th chapter. And beginning in verse 15. Say, "Yet on your fathers did the Lord set his affection to love them, and he chose their descendants after them, even you above all peoples as it is this day. So circumcise your heart and stiffen your neck no longer, for the Lord is your God, the God of gods, the Lord of Lords, the great, the mighty, the awesome God, who does not show partiality nor take a bribe. He executes justice for the orphan and the widow, and shows his love for the alien by giving them food and clothing. So he's saying, I chose you. There are many nations, many other peoples, but I chose you out of all the peoples. And ultimately, to bring the Messiah through was his plan. But he also told Abraham what? You're going to inherit this land that you're standing upon right now, that you're sojourning in. You're going to inherit this land. But what else did he say that was even greater than that in the 17th chapter of Genesis? All nations shall be blessed through your seed. So he's saying, through you, you're going to be blessed. And the children of Israel knew that. And I want you to keep that in mind. They knew that they were a chosen people, above and beyond any other people. But he also told them to do something. He said, circumcise your heart and stiffen not your neck again. In other words, be obedient to my commandments, because I have chosen you. Let's go over here to the new law. Are Christians chosen people? Are we a peculiar people? What does 1 Timothy, the 2nd chapter and verse 9 say? Let's run over there and see real quick. Unless you have it memorized, then you're in better shape than I am, because I always forget. I know where it's at, but a lot of times I forget everything it's talking or stating. There in the 9th verse, it says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So who are we? Who was Peter talking to? Was he talking to all mankind? Well, go back up to the first chapter and see who he's talking to. He's talking about those that were cast aside, those out in Asia Minor, those that were of the faith. So he's talking to Christians. He said, you're chosen. You're a special people. You're a people for God's own possession. And as long as you remember those commandments, you will continue to be his chosen people. Same way for Israel. As long as they remember those commandments, they will continue to be his chosen people. Well, let's go a little bit further. He talks about test. Were the children of Israel ever tested? Yeah, they were. Let's go to Judges, the 2nd chapter. And down in verse 19. Judges, the 2nd chapter. Verse 19. And this test was because of their own failure. The reason these things were coming about. In the 19th verse. Yeah, this is a lot faster, Alan, to go with your iPad to get to your verses and stuff. A lot faster. Great technology has helped us grow, get more into the God's Word, because we can get there faster. Begin in verse 19. I'm in 19th chapter. I need to go to the 2nd chapter. 19th verse. Sorry. If I told you 19th chapter, it's the 2nd chapter, 19th verse. It says, but it came about when the judges died that they would turn back, talking about Israel, would turn back and act more corruptly than their fathers. In following other gods to serve them and to bow down to them, they did not abandon their practices or their stubborn ways. So the anger of the Lord burned against Israel, and he said, because this nation has transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and has not listened to my voice, I will also no longer drive them out before any of the inhabitants or the nations which Joshua left when he died, in order to test Israel by them, whether they will keep the way of the Lord, to walk in it as their fathers did or not. So the Lord allowed those nations to remain, not driving them out quickly, and he did not give them into the hand of Joshua. So why did he keep the children of Israel? Why did they not? Well, first of all, it's because they didn't destroy all of them. And they started going after their gods. So he said, I'm going to remain, leave them here to be a thorn in your side, to test you, to see whether you're going to follow my commandments, because you are my chosen people. I'm going to test and see if you're going to withstand the test. If you're going to follow me as your fathers did or not. So those people are going to test you. Well, let's go to the New Testament. Is the Christian tested today? Well, let's go to James, the 1st chapter, which many of you know that this verse, and it's one that we have to look at periodically, because Sometimes we think we're not being, that everything we're being is because we're Christians. We're having heartaches, having problems, having drama, whatever it may be. But James tells those 12 tribes that were dispersed this: consider it all joy, brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Also, let's go over to 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. I believe it's, no, 13th chapter. Sorry. And the 5th verse says, test yourselves. 2 Corinthians, 13th chapter, verse 5. Maybe you all underline this, because this is something we need to do daily. It says, test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves, or do you not recognize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless you fail the test. So the Israelites were tested by the people around them, the nations that were around them, to see whether they would be obedient and remember the covenant and remember that they were a chosen people. We as Christians need to remember the covenant that we're under, and that we are chosen people, and that we need to test. And the Lord tests us daily to see whether we are of the faith. But Paul even goes a little further and says, you need to test yourself. You need to examine yourself. So that's something that we all do. We all need to do. We need to test to see if we are up to the calling. Then the next thing we want to look at is faithful. Was God faithful when the people remembered, when the people remembered they were chosen, when the people accomplished the test, succeeded through the test, that they would be obedient, then the Lord would be faithful to them. Let's look over in Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter, in verse 7 through 9. It says, the Lord did not set his love on you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any other peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But because the Lord loved you and kept the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord brought you out of by a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery from Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps his covenant and his loving kindness to a thousandth generation with those who love and keep his commandments. So is the Lord faithful? The Lord was faithful to the children of Israel. In what way was he faithful to them? He promised Abraham, you're going to inherit this land. Your seed is going to take over this land. Did he fulfill those promises? Yes, he did. And then we go and ask ourselves, is the Lord faithful to us? Yeah. In what way is he faithful to us? Think about a couple things. Let's go to 2 Timothy, the 2nd chapter. It helps sometimes, too, if you hit the button, too. In the 2nd chapter in verse 11, maybe, now it's going to make a liar out of me. There we go. Beginning in the 11th verse, says, it is a trustworthy statement. For if we die with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. So he's going to remain faithful, even if we don't. And what does that mean, he's going to remain faithful? He's going to remain faithful to what he said would be for Christians, that they would enter in. That there is a crown of life stored up. There is a promised land. There are mansions prepared for us. There's a promised land. We cross that Jordan, we go into it. And he's faithful, and he will carry that through. Because we've seen what he has done for his people. And then I kind of touched on this fifth one, promise. He promised Abraham, he was faithful. He completed. He's given us a pledge that he's going to carry this through. that he is going to bring those that love him, those that keep his commandments, into an eternal rest. He has promised that. You go to Ephesians, the first chapter, and we can use other verses, but this one here will suffice for what we need to look at. In the 14th verse, well, let's go to the 13th. He said, in him you also, after listening to the gospel, talking about Christ, to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. Why? He says, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. There's a pledge. He gave the Spirit to the Christian, to those that are obedient to him, as a pledge, saying, I'm going to fulfill this promise because I have given you my Spirit. He dwells within you. Romans, the 8th chapter, talks about we do not know how to pray as we do, but the Spirit intercedes for us. He prays. He knows God's will, so he knows our prayer, knows what we need, so he intercedes for us. So he has fought all these promises. The children of Israel, as we get to the conclusion of the lesson, all these things, remember, chosen, test, faithful, promise, to make them into a godly people. Same way with the Christian. We are godly people because of these five things. But what did the children of Israel do? They had all this. But what did they do? They grumbled. They murmured. They complained. After they were a chosen people, they'd done all these things. God had, as we talked about in our morning class, God supplied all their physical needs, all their spiritual needs. And what did they do? They murmured against Moses, murmured against Aaron. But ultimately, who did they murmur against? God, who had set them up as a nation, who had carried them through the wilderness, who had left the same clothes, the same shoes, sandals. They were the same 40 years. They began in the wilderness wandering. At the end of those, they still had the same things, same shoes on, same clothing, never wore out. But what did they do? Complained. Let me ask you a question here. What do Christians do? Do Christians ever complain? Oh, no, never. Never murmur, never complain, never grumble. Let me put something, a little thought in your mind. Have you ever done this? There's going to be 7 or 8 things here, so that way I can make sure I step on my toes and everybody else's toes. Amen. Do we ever complain about someone giving a prayer? It was too long. It didn't mean nothing. Does a Christian ever complain about that? Have you ever complained about that? Have you ever complained about how the communion's fixed, how the communion's served? The next one is, have you ever complained about, look at there, there's a speck of dirt right there. Nobody cleaned it. They haven't cleaned good. I see a cobweb back here in the back. Nobody cleaned it. Then, have you ever complained about the preacher? Whether it's me or whether it's anybody, any other congregation. That was a good sermon, but you know what? It was 20 minutes too long. Or, I don't understand a word he said. Or, do I got to listen to the same preacher 2 weeks in a row? You know, do I have to do that? Well, if you have a hired preacher, yeah, you're going to listen to the same preacher 2 weeks in a row, maybe several weeks in a row. But, and John knows that, he's been in them shoes. Then you ask yourself, then have you ever stood up and said, well, the teacher isn't teaching what I think should be taught. She or he isn't doing a good job. Then have we asked ourselves also, how about the deacon? Is he doing his job? I don't think this deacon does anything. What does he do? What's his responsibility? Why isn't he doing anything? I see 5 other deacons doing everything else, but he's not doing nothing. Or I see 1 deacon doing all, and another 5 or 6 not doing nothing. Have we ever complained about that? How about the elders? Well, I don't think the elders are doing what they should. They're not doing this. They're not doing that. So is that murmuring? Is that grumbling? Is that complaining? Or is that just people? To me, it's the same as the Israelites complaining about God not supplying them with everything they need. And there is a saying that comes back once in a while to my mind is, and Jeff knows about this, and Alan knows, Alan and I coach baseball together. We umpire together. We volunteered to do that. Do you think we got pats on the back? Especially if you're an umpire, you never get a pat on the back. But the point I want to make, and Jeff knows this too, because he's an umpire, wrestling and baseball and softball. Volunteer. Moses and Aaron were given a job to do, but did they voluntarily do it? Yeah, were they paid for it? Were they taken care of? They were taken care of because they obeyed God and done as he wanted. They volunteered their time. They volunteered their life. What about these people that we have in our congregation that volunteer, teach, preach, whatever it may be, song lead, take care of communion, clean the building, whatever it may be? And I'm going to say this, probably may not be real happy, but we have, and Israel had the same thing, a lot of armchair quarterbacks. In other words, we want to complain, but like Alan and I would say once in a while, hey, you don't like the call? I'll give you the clicker and you umpire. How many people do you think jumped the fence and ran out the umpire? I didn't, all the 20 years I'd done it, I never seen one do it. Same way coaching. You have nothing but complaints, but okay, you coach. No, I don't want to. That's what we need to make sure of. God was faithful to his people. And those that served, done it because they loved God and they loved his people. Moses, Aaron, the judges, the prophets. Same way here. These people that volunteer to do things, don't complain because they love the church. They love God. They want to do, God has given me one talent. I want to display that one talent. I want to help them in whatever way I can. So if you think about this lesson, I know it wasn't one to beat down anybody. I just wanted to bring our attention because I catch myself doing the same thing sometimes. We need to think that we're a congregation. Every congregation is a part of the Lord's church. Let's do all we can to help it grow and help everyone grow stronger and more faithful. Because wouldn't it be a great thing that we all sit on the day of judgment and he says, enter in, thou good and faithful servants. You can spend eternity with me. And isn't that what we're all, our goal is? And as you study and store up God's word in your heart, I'm 5 minutes over, sorry, but I will hurry up here. Store that word up in your heart that when you do come to the house of the Lord, you do it because you're excited to be here. You want to be here. So the invitation is for all those that have never obeyed the gospel. You're missing a very great day in the future. We as Christians, if we've slipped back, hey, let's come back. Let's put God first and put away the worldly things. Because that's Satan fighting us, trying to get us to stay away from God. He's got the world. His concentration is on us. But God has given us everything we need to battle that. I want to end with one verse and then we can sing our invitation. Psalms, the 48th chapter and verse 14. The last verse of the thing. It said, for such is God, our God forever and ever, and he will guide us until death. So remember that. God will guide us till death. He will take care of us till death. So if you're subject to invitation, won't you come as we stand and sing?